is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and we're going into Reefer Madness today to look at CNN's Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. This last Friday, his guests were drug czar Gil Kerlikowske and former first drug czar ever, drug czar Bill Bennett. On CNN's Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, this is courtesy of MoxNews.com.
America has a huge drug problem, but the Obama administration now wants to end what's been called the war on drugs and start treating this as a public health matter. I sat down with the current drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske. He's director of the Office of National Drug Policy, and with CNN contributor Bill Bennett. He was the first drug czar back in the George H.W. Bush administration. Does the change in focus suggest the government is open to legalizing marijuana?
No, legalization is an absolute non-starter in the Obama administration.
All right, before we go much further, let's pause here with our drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske. Because I'd like to remind folks that the drug czar is required by law to lie. And we're looking at this right now in the cam here. According to Title VII, the Office of National Drug Control Policy Reauthorization Act of 1998, responsibilities of the director, that's the drug czar, shall ensure that no federal funds appropriated to the Office of National Drug Control Policy shall be expended for any study or contract relating to the legalization for a medical use or any other use of a substance listed in Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act. That would be marijuana, among others. And to take such actions as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize the use of a substance in any form that is listed in Schedule 1 and has not been approved for medical purposes by the Food and Drug Administration. Take any such actions as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize marijuana. So remember, that's Gil Kerlikowske's job description. All right, let's go back to the video.
And it just makes no sense. But what we do know, so there are a lot of people frustrated about the war on drugs. They don't see success. They know friends, they know relatives, they know what's happened in their own neighborhoods. We're going to bring some other people into this issue at the same level that we have law enforcement. That's where we're headed.
Because the argument.
Let's talk about why the American people are so frustrated about this war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. I'll put a graph up here on the screen. You can see this is a graph of all American wars. Now, in the first set of bars here, you're seeing the wars in the 18th and 19th century, all combined. Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican-American War, and so on. All the wars in our first two centuries were 17 years and 2 months worth of total time. We moved to the 20th and 21st century wars, and including Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, and World War I, World War II, the total of all those wars lasted 33 years and 1 month. The war on drugs has been going on now for 40 years, longer than all American wars in the 20th and 21st century combined, with no results.
In favor of legalizing marijuana is sort of this. We legalized alcohol, we regulate it, people deal with it. Why not do the same thing with marijuana? And as a result, open up efforts to deal with much more serious drug-related issues like heroin, for example.
You know, as a police chief for a long time, I never saw officers in Seattle running around spending an inordinate amount of time chasing people for a small amount of marijuana.
This is one thing drug warriors say that just blows my mind. Marijuana is this terribly dangerous drug. We just absolutely can't legalize it. But we really don't spend a lot of time going after people who are breaking that law. It's either illegal and dangerous or it's not illegal and dangerous, right? Pick here, pick and choose. And when he says that the cops in Seattle weren't running around doing that, well, part of that is because the voters of Seattle approved an initiative that made the enforcement of marijuana laws the lowest police priority. I'll tell you what, Seattle ain't Columbia, Missouri, that's for sure, where a man just had his dog shot and killed in front of his 7-year-old. We showed that video all week. Let me give you some graphs, too, as well, to kind of illustrate exactly who's getting arrested here. First of all, when we look at arrests for all drugs, marijuana, the green part of this pie graph, make up almost half, 49% of all arrests in the war on drugs are arrests for marijuana. 44% of all arrests in the war on drugs are for marijuana possession, not dealing, not growing, mere possession of marijuana. And the Drug Czar wants you to believe that they really don't spend a lot of time going around and arresting people for marijuana? Well, who are these half of all the people arrested for drugs being arrested for marijuana? Another chart is the chart of how many total arrests we've had for marijuana. This is from 1990 all the way to 2008. Unless you think this is a Republican or a Democrat issue, Clinton and George W. Bush, both 8-year presidents, locked up about the same number or arrested about the same number of marijuana consumers, with a total of 847,000 arrests for marijuana last year from the Obama administration.
We know that the health costs of alcohol, the health costs of nicotine versus the taxes collected doesn't even begin to pay for those social and criminal justice costs.
Oh, yeah. And you know why? Because marijuana ain't alcohol and tobacco. Alcohol is toxic. It can kill you and it's addictive. Tobacco is toxic. It can kill you and it's addictive. But let's just take a look at some more data on this, because Canada took a look at this. Canada took a look and asked, what does it cost per user per year of three selected substances? Here on the left, we see tobacco, $800 worth of healthcare costs per user per year in Canada. Alcohol here, the middle one, $165 worth of healthcare costs per user per year. You can barely see it here on the right, but cannabis, that little $20 figure, yeah, that's right, $20 per user per year in healthcare costs for cannabis. So it's no surprise that the taxes on tobacco and alcohol don't make up the healthcare costs, because there are so many healthcare costs associated with alcohol and tobacco. Meanwhile, with cannabis, this other bar you're seeing is the $328 per user per year that Canada spends on keeping cannabis illegal. That's right, we're spending $328 a year to save 20 bucks.
Why have another mood-altering drug made legal and then more widely available because of its legality?
Well, would you want to
more widely available? Well, let's take a look at some more graphs here. Here's some graphs about teenagers in the 8th grade, the 10th grade, and the 12th grade, when surveyed on how easy it is for them to get a hold of marijuana, 37% of 8th graders, 69% of 10th graders, and a full 83.9% of 12th graders say it is easy or fairly easy to get marijuana. And when we take a look at the use rates from different countries, in the United States, 41.8% of all adult Americans have tried marijuana. In the Netherlands, where marijuana is somewhat tolerated, it's only 19%. Here's another look at how available marijuana is. They talk about, you know, whether or not we're going to allow another drug. Well, folks, guess what? Marijuana's already here. In this chart, you can see from the ages of 18 to 25, 28% of the population uses marijuana at least once per year, with 11% of them using at least twice per week. At the ages 26 to 34, it's almost 14%. 35 to 49, 8%. And people 50 and over, the fastest growing segment of people that are using marijuana, a full 3% of them are already using marijuana. When we look at the overall use of marijuana, how many people have actually ever tried marijuana? In 1987, it was 50 million people. Last year, it was 102 million total marijuana users. Now, of course, the population has gone up, but as a percentage, the percentage of people who have used marijuana has gone from 28% to 41%. So the only question now is not whether or not we're going to allow something, because it's already happening. The question is the state going to control it, or are criminals going to control it?
Alcoholic use?
No, I'm not going back down that path, but I don't think that we need another thing that causes so much hurt to families and people.
Is this a waste of resources, though, to spend so much law enforcement, judicial effort, criminalizing people who want to go out and smoke pot?
No, we had 40,000 people die last year because of drug use. We could make that 80,000 or 120 or 360,000 by making it legal. You make it legal.
Wait a minute. We're talking about making marijuana legal. You want to talk about people who have died from drug use, the 20,000, the 80,000, 360,000. Of that number, zero would be people who had died from marijuana use. Marijuana is non-toxic. It cannot kill you.
You make it more accessible. You get permission for it. Alcohol is legal. We have plenty of alcoholics. We have plenty of people whose lives are wrecked, plenty of families whose lives are wrecked because of alcohol.
Because there's one argument.
You know, I'll testify to that. My father was an alcoholic and my family was severely harmed by alcohol. So, Bill Bennett, why weren't you calling for prohibition of alcohol when you were a drug czar back in the 80s? Why isn't the harm that's demonstrated by alcohol proven? Everyone knows how much harm it can cause. Why isn't that an argument for prohibiting that?
That alcohol is potentially a lot more dangerous than marijuana.
It may be. I think if you really examine the arguments, you might want to think about more restrictions on alcohol than opening up marijuana. When you see the effect of marijuana on the brain, particularly the young.
You don't want to go back to prohibition.
I don't want to go back to prohibition, but I certainly think the rules on drinking, if they were enforced, for example, on college campuses, where we know what this leads to from time to time, leads to a lot of things every weekend, but some weekends it leads to some of the horrible violence we've seen.
Well, that is true. We do know on college campuses that binge drinking, alcohol leads to student deaths, to date rapes, to drunk driving, to assaults, to vandalism, and so on. But when you look at college campuses, I just recently did a story on Notre Dame's policies, but this, you know, Notre Dame's not unique by any stretch of the imagination. Look at the policies for underage alcohol abuse. Remember, below age 21, alcohol's an illegal drug for you, and the punishments for cannabis. Almost always on any college campus, if you're caught with marijuana, you're kicked out of the dorm, you lose your scholarships, these terrible punishments are exacted upon you, not to mention the Souder amendments that take away your student loans at the federal level. But when you look at underage punishment for alcohol, in the case of Notre Dame, it would take multiple repeated offenses of being intoxicated and causing problems before they might consider suspending the student. But if they catch them with cannabis, they will suspend the student. So yeah, there's one thing that Bill Bennett's pointing out there. So Bill, why don't we make cannabis legal so these college students who are so tempted to drink and do all of that stuff, why don't we give them the chance to use marijuana instead?
Let me just say a word about the war on drugs, properly understood, not to get into a war with Gil Kerlikowski about the phrase, but if you energize people, motivate people, if you talk about this issue, as Gil Kerlikowski has and will, I don't think the president has enough at all, and I think he should, you can have success. Remember, in 1979, there were about 24 million drug users in this country. This country decided to do something about it. There was a drug czar appointed. The country mobilized. The number in 1992 was 11 million. That's not victory, but from 24 million to 11 million is a big decline. It's now back up to 20 million.
Aha. So this is something that Bill Bennett was always really good at, and that's throwing numbers at you to try to confuse you and make you think that his point has any sort of sense to it. 24 million drug users in 1979, 11 million by 1992. It'd be just as relevant to say there were 24 million people wearing bell bottoms in 1979 and only 11 million by 1992. The correlation here is ridiculous because what he's doing is only picking the very peak of drug use in 79 and comparing it to the very lowest drug use measured in 1992. If we take a look at the war on drugs strategy, however, that's been enacted since 1970, the days of Richard Nixon, we had more drug users going on in 1970, and it increased to 24 million by 1979. So how come the drug war wasn't successful then, when it went up from 1970 to 79? Now, he's going to say the drug war was successful from 79 to 92, probably owing to the fact that he worked for Reagan and also Bush the Smarter. So he's going to point out those 12 years as being effective. But let's also point out that in those years, they were also introducing the crack cocaine dilemma in this country. And that's when our show usually ends. That's okay. We'll turn off the alarm. Go to sleep, you. Thank you. Too many gadgets. But they want to point out that during the Reagan years, it went down from 24 million to 11 million. But after Bush the Smarter left office, Clinton was in office using the same exact strategies of locking people up, and drug use went up in all characteristics. Let me go to the graphs here so you can just take a look at the actual numbers. This is a 20-year graph of cannabis use, the three different lines representing the annual, the monthly, and the lifetime use. So lifetime's at the top, and then annual, and then monthly's at the bottom. All of these graphs have trended upwards or stayed the same since 1988. So over the past two decades, marijuana use has either gone up or stayed the same depending on the frequency with which you measure. When we take a look at the other illegal drugs that they are typically focusing on, we look at cocaine, heroin, crack, hallucinogens, meth, and inhalants. You can see how this graph has also tended to trend upward over the past 2 decades. That's right, 2 decades of trending upwards in both of these graphs. So while Bill Bennett wants to make you think that the drug war strategy worked, he's only picking the point in the graph where drug use went down and saying that's where it was successful, and not pointing out that they've used the same strategies for 40 years of the drug war, and we still have just about or more the same number of drug users.
And I think if you press right on this thing, don't call fall for the siren song of legalization. And I applaud the drug czar on that, and going out to California and fighting this issue. You can get those numbers back down. And that's what you want. You want the numbers down, not up.
Let me pick up with.
Okay, let's say that we do want to see the numbers of drug users going down. Certainly for hard drugs, I'd appreciate that. For cannabis, I don't care whether it stays the same, goes down, or goes up, since cannabis is non-toxic to its users and pretty much harmless to society. But let's actually take a look at government policies that have caused drug use to gone down. This is the graph of alcohol cigarette use in America. Red lines for alcohol use, purple lines for cigarette use. All of these lines have gone downwards. The tobacco lines have gone downwards because of a public service campaign against tobacco, the lawsuits against the tobacco companies that helped to fund things like truth.org, getting out the actual scientific facts about tobacco. The red lines for alcohol use have gone down, partially because of the Mothers Against Drunk Driving campaigns and the public campaigns for increased safety, but also just because people are realizing that drinking has harmful side effects if you engage in it too much. Notice both of these are the legal drugs, and nobody had to be arrested or have their lives ruined and their property taken away from them in order to get those numbers to go down.
One point that Bill just made, in your mind, and you're an authority on this, is alcohol potentially more dangerous than pot?
Two points. One, alcohol does cause more problems than marijuana, but alcohol is legal. If you make marijuana legal...
Minute. Okay, so he's trying to tell us that alcohol is more harmful because it's legal, or it's harmful but it's legal so we don't have to pay attention to it. Again, if alcohol is harmful like you're saying it is, then why not ban it? Because apparently that's our policy. We ban things that are harmful. You're claiming marijuana is so harmful. If alcohol is harmful, then why aren't you banning it? No, the reason alcohol is more dangerous has nothing to do whether it's legal or illegal. If you drink a quart of whiskey, you will die whether that whiskey is legal or illegal. Alcohol is more dangerous because it is toxic, and it is because it is highly impairing, and because it is addictive.
It will therefore become much more widely available, and therefore the damages and detriment to society and to individuals would continue to increase. But let me mention also, President Obama is actively engaged in this. When I met with him and he gave me some directions to get the voice of the American people into this strategy, that's what's in there. When I briefed him a week ago about the strategy, he could not be more supportive.
Well, let's look at this strategy. First of all, how could marijuana be any more available than it is now? Like I said in the earlier slide, we've got 84% of our high school seniors saying it is easy or fairly easy to get marijuana. In report after report from government sources, teenagers say it is easier to get a hold of marijuana than it is to get a hold of alcohol. We find that 69% of high school seniors say they could get marijuana within a day. 25% of them say they could get marijuana within an hour. So how much more available is it going to be when we start checking IDs like we do for alcohol and tobacco, which kids say are harder to get a hold of? And furthermore, about this strategy and more countries going on, I'd encourage everyone to check out normal.org, and there's a paper that Paul Armentano has written called The Real World Ramifications of Cannabis Legalization and Decriminalization. This actually takes a look at the countries and the states that have reduced penalties, decriminalized, or somewhat tolerated or legalized, like they have in the Netherlands, the use of cannabis, and the facts are in and shows no major increase in use and a lot of decrease in the harms that we associate with marijuana, the crimes and so on.
We reduce the demand for illegal drugs in the United States.
Smart education through a variety of trusted givers.
Nancy Reagan used to say, just say no.
She did. And you know, it's a little more complex than that. If parents, teachers, faith community, and neighborhood groups all give young people the same consistent message and they repeat it about making healthy choices, underage drinking is mentioned in the strategy, the drug problems, and of course, if they get healthy choice advice about exercise, nutrition, they will actually be prevented in the future.
Okay, all of those things are good. We want kids to get more education about harmful drugs, alcohol, nicotine, smoking, healthy lifestyle choices, exercise, nutrition, and so on. But like we pointed out at the beginning, the drug czar is required by law to lie about marijuana. So the education that he can give about marijuana, if he was to give factual information about its health benefits, how it can be used for all of the uses that hemp would provide, all the medical benefits we can get for it, the nutrition of hemp seed, my God, if he was to point out all of that, it would be obvious to our school children that the keeping it illegal is not any sort of consistent strategy from our government.
Okay, sir.
Well, we've only kept it to 4 hours in a healthcare class about drugs and maybe 4 hours about nicotine. It has to be across the whole continuum.
I remember when I was a little boy growing up in Buffalo, New York, I heard all those stories, the horrors of drugs. And we were taught that, and I assume since then all the kids are taught about
it. One, we don't want to use scare tactics. And number two, we want to use the evidence-based systems. And that's what the most recent analysis tells us. Across the board.
Well, we would love to see some evidence-based education when it comes to drugs. That would be really nice, especially with regard to marijuana. But don't be fooled by the drug czar's rhetoric here. They keep talking about how they want to have a balanced approach. They want to put more toward prevention, more toward treatment. We've got to treat it holistically. You're going to hear a lot of that. But this graph will just show you. It's not really a graph. It's more of a chart here. This is the Obama balanced approach to drug war funding when you actually take a look at the numbers in the budget. Treatment and prevention get $5.6 billion in the Obama drug war budget. Law enforcement and interdiction get $9.9 billion. It's a nearly 2-to-1 ratio, just like it was during the W. Bush administration, just like it was during the Clinton administration. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Board quality advisors giving kids the right piece of information.
Is this going to make a dent?
It does. If you do it, I agree again across the board. And Nancy Reagan's statements were underrated. A lot of the kids liked those statements. They liked because it was clear. Just say no. It's a heck of a lot better statement than if it feels good, do it. It's a lot.
Okay, wait a minute. Who was putting out if it feels good, do it? Are you trying to throw that on us at Normal or any of the drug law reform organizations? No. Look, the Nancy Reagan Just Say No era, those messages have been studied. The fried egg, you know, this is your brain on drugs, the running over the girl at the drive-thru, the shooting your friend with the pistol.
The cartoon All-Stars.
It's all been debunked, and it has been found that the government spent money, billions of dollars, on these programs, and not only did they not dissuade kids from using drugs, in some cases, it enticed them into using drugs. Those ads were a failure, and Bill Bennett is calling for more of the same.
That's a lot clearer. You want that statement, but you also want sound education programs and sound policies in the schools. Problem is, kids get a message of ambiguity from adults. And when you have this legalization stupidity out there, you're going to have more young people confused.
Other than...
Okay, let me address this legalization stupidity. This is a chart showing you the support for marijuana legalization in poll after poll. The green line indicates the rising support of people that say we should legalize marijuana. The red line shows the declining support for keeping it prohibited like it is now. So if you're talking about legalization stupidity, you're talking about 43% of the American people that are stupid. Also, I'd kind of like to point out the drug war budgets here. You know, Bill Bennett's got 50, or the drug czar and the entire federal government have $15.5 billion to spend on the drug war. By comparison, those of us who are doing drug law reform, I've got the graph up now, this red line indicates the billions of dollars that the $15.5 billion that the federal government has to spread their message about the drug war. Meanwhile, we have maybe combined from all drug war, drug reform policy organizations, NORMAL, MPP, DPA, SAFER, SSDP, ASA, and so on, we might have $1 million between us. So for some reason, our message with only $1 million worth of funding has caused 43% 40% of the American people to buy into this so-called legalization stupidity, while $15.5 billion spent by the federal government has shown nothing but increasing rates of drug use, have shown the increasing purity of hard drugs, a decrease in the price of hard drugs, and 23,000 Mexicans slaughtered south of our border to maintain this prohibition on marijuana.
You're not hearing enough directly from the president on this
right.
issue. Is there any basic problem you have with the Obama administration's efforts to deal with this issue?
Not really. Again, I'd like more attention, more publicity. There are a lot of things going on. We understand what competes for attention. But this strategy, if people read it, I think would be very impressive. It's a clear moral message, and it talks about working on a variety of fronts. I think it's quite good. But what you had back in the 80s was...
Let's go back to this more about that he expects more from President Obama on this war against drugs. This might be kind of tough when President Obama said this.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
That was the point. So we're not talking about a guy that, you know, just puffed once, experimented with it. This is a guy who had some real experience with using marijuana. He's also quoted as saying that he wanted us to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. So maybe President Obama's not the best guy to put on the bully pulpit for Just Say No.
Was an entire society mobilized, and this is what leadership does. You did have all those ads, the guy jumping off the diving board into an empty swimming pool. This is your brain on drugs. This is the two fried eggs, because the society decided it wanted to push back.
Public service.
It pushed back,
see more
it went
of those
down, and we can do that again.
No, again, like I pointed out, those ads were shown to be failures in keeping kids off drugs. But let's also remember what was going on in the 80s with the CIA and the Contras and funneling cocaine into America, the crack cocaine epidemic, when every newscaster was coming on the air and the president was coming on the air saying, this is the big new drug. It's called crack. It will get you really, really, really high. It's super addictive. It's really cheap. So don't use it. Whatever you do, don't use the crack. It's really, really, really powerful. Don't use it. Basically an advertising campaign for crack cocaine that caused us to have so much problems in the cities and problems with crack addiction that all drugs got demonized as a matter of course. They said, oh, marijuana would lead to crack. Look how bad crack is. That's been shown to be false as well. We find that for every 108 people who ever use marijuana, only one goes on to use any other sort of hard drug.
They're coming
yeah,
up.
The president asked for $66 million in those advertisements, and those advertisements are directed towards specific groups. In fact, just last week, we released the strategies for meth on reservations in tribal nations for those kids. Those are targeted directly to that youth group, and we're going to continue to do those things.
Well, that's a wonderful program. Absolutely. Let's target meth abuse on Native American reservations. But remember, Gil, every single dollar you spend fighting against marijuana, fighting against legalization, trying to prevent people from using cannabis in their own personal, private lives, every dollar you spend on pot is a dollar you're not spending to help Native American youth to get off meth. It's a dollar you're not spending to help people in the cities get off crack cocaine. It's a dollar that you're not spending to help junkies in the inner city with some sort of heroin treatment. It's a dollar that you're not spending on people getting alcohol treatment. It's a bed in a treatment facility that's filled with a marijuana offender who had to choose between jail or rehab, a bed that could better be served for somebody with a serious drug addiction rather than someone who's only doing time there to stay out of incarceration. You are wasting our money every year. You are wasting lives every year. The prohibition of marijuana hurts people even that don't smoke marijuana. It's time to end this. The American people are on our side, and we are going to continue with legalization. Drug czars be damned.
Gil Kerlikowske, thanks very much for coming in. Bill Bennett, thanks for this discussion.
Bet.
Let's hope you make a dent. We're counting on you.
Good.